Hello and welcome back to the Ridge Recap, where Matthew Bielak and I are on our health journeys as we sip our smoothies and talk about UK versus the World 2 episode cut.
Oh my god, your French is getting so much better.
Merci beaucoup, mon ami.
De rien.
De rien.
Yes, Derek, please enlighten us on what smoothie you're drinking today.
So I, after a long, strenuous jog of 2 kilometers, I walked my way into a pulp juice and smoothie bar.
And I do love pulp.
Walked right up to the front counter. My earbud then promptly fell out of my ear, and I had to bend over and run to get it. You know how it, like, bounces? So you're, like, yep, running after it, and you have, like, the... I want to put the sound effect in, but the, like... in, like, a cartoon. And then I ordered myself a large tropical blast smoothie.
Mmm. Not sponsored by pulp, of course.
If they want to sponsor me, I definitely could use a lifetime supply of pulp, because... I spend that much anyway. So, what smoothie are you drinking?
Oh, well, Derek, I made a homemade smoothie because I'm really on that cleanse kick. I have myself...
Wow.
Yep, I have myself some almond milk, protein vanilla yogurt, some strawberries, some blueberries, raspberries, blackberries, some peach, some banana, and, of course, some spinach and other greenery. Because we're healthy here.
Well, taking a look at that smoothie, it looks like you didn't blend it very well, since there's a big Hakka yogurt on the side.
Hold on, it's just, okay, that's...
Mine is very uniformly blended. Every flavor's in every sip.
Hold on, I feel like I'm being slandered, and it's not fair, because we are in an audio setting, not a visual setting. I don't know how to describe this, but everyone is just like... It's a thin layer of yogurt that's stuck to the side of the cup, okay?
No, it is lathered on. You're going to get one sip that is just yogurt.
Girl, that's so false. It's not even moving with the smoothie because it's just a thin layer stuck to the side of the cup. I can't even describe it, everybody.
Not us having a yogurt off or a smoothie off.
Girl, you have ice cream and sherbet in yours. What yogurt are you debating?
Anyway, we have an episode to talk about. A snatch game episode of UK versus the World 2, where the curse of the snatch game continues.
It does.
It's been a while since we've had a superb, probably since All-Star 7, low-key snatch game.
Yeah.
That I've seen.
Yeah. I'd agree. I mean, not even on, like, international seasons, I can think of, like, a snatch game that had me. Granted, a lot of the international seasons are a language I'm not familiar with, so it's not as easy for me to pick up on humor, but
that really had me. How's your Portuguese coming? I heard you on Snapchat, you said that you're getting back into Portuguese.
Dude,
You gave up on Italian that quickly?
No, I didn't give up on Italian. I just, like, learned a single phrase in Portuguese, and I'm like, this is fun to say. I meant to put that on my private Snapchat, but then I realized I put it on my public Snapchat. And so I woke up to, like, a message in the morning from somebody I don't even know. And they're like, what does this mean? I'm like, oh, shit, I didn't mean to put it on there. Oh, God. Yeah, I'm not even learning Portuguese. I just learned one phrase, and it's so fun to say. Sim, André no Brasil. It's just fun.
What does it mean?
So my friend Andrea went to Brazil recently, and it means, yes, Andrea in Brazil. And so I just...
Please.
And so, sim, André no Brasil. It's just fun. I just really like the nasally way that Portuguese says the country name Brazil. Brazil. It's fun.
Well, as our resident international specialist, I think it's time for Matthew versus the World.
I feel like I need, like, a cool intro for that.
When we do that. I was just thinking we should get, like, I'll go to Fiverr and get someone to make us, like, a little, little ditty.
Yes. So, we also had a snatch game in Drag Race Belgique, but it wasn't anything special to report on. So, today, we're going to be talking about Drag Race España, which it was the penultimate episode. This was the semifinals with our top 5 as we determined our top 4 finalists. The challenge was a roast, and we had a top 2 of Samantha Ballantyne's and Drag Sethlas, this being Sethlas's 4th challenge win of the season. So this challenge win in tandem with her high placement from last week, I think makes her, well, I think that gives her the best track record of all time. I think she beat out Dayla, if I'm not mistaken. It's kind of clear that she's probably going to win this season. And there was like a, I forgot to mention that there was like a little twist that happened in this episode where there was a top two. And if you weren't in the top two, you were in the bottom three, right? That's the normal All-Stars stuff. It was revealed that the eliminated queens were given the power to save one of the bottom three, right? And so I was thinking here that that meant, okay, Supreme Deluxe is going to announce the top two and then announce the bottom three, but then Supreme's going to be like, eliminated queens, save one of these three, that being Ornella, Jurigi, and Poopy Poison, save one of these three from being in the bottom. And I thought, so they were going to save them, and then the top two were going to pick from the remaining two queens. No, what happened was the top two lip sync, and then Samantha wins the lip syncs and reveals that she picked Poopy Poison. But then after the fact, Supreme is like, oh, Poopy, you're eliminated, but maybe not. Your name might be picked by the eliminated queens. But apparently it was revealed that the eliminated queens didn't even save Poopy anyway. They saved Ornella Gongora. So they got Poopy Poison's hopes up for nothing. She got jammed like nobody's business. It was a very weird order of how to do things for that situation there. But yeah, so we have a top four of Dragcephalos, Jurigi Dareclie, Ornella Gongora, and Samantha Ballantines.
And who are you rooting for the crown?
I am rooting for all of them, honestly. I really like all of them. You know, I think if I had to pick one, I would pick Jurigi. That'd be my own pick. But I really like Cephalos, Samantha, and Ornella. But it's really crazy that Ornella, fresh off the heels of season three, she's going into this finale literally up against only season two queens. It's giving very Katya versus Rolaska talks. Yeah, it's very crazy. So I don't know if she's gonna do it, but yeah, I can't wait for the finale though. Yeah, that's it.
Getting into this episode, we saw that both Tia Coffey and Scarlet Envy decided to send home Jombers Blonde. I really thought that Tia was going to save Jombers and send home Kata Minaj, but she decided, nah, I'll wait one more episode to do that.
Dare I say, in my head, it might be a little strategery, I think.
Oh, how so?
Well, I think she explained it in her confessional in the episode, didn't she? Where she said, it would have been a safe choice for me to pick Jombers because that proves to the other girls that the UK alliance might not be as big as a threat that they might think it was originally. I think that might be a good idea. If she just sent Jombers home, then she would rely on the other two queens, the other two UK girls, to perhaps fulfill the alliance. I feel like eliminating Jombers on Tia's side takes the targets off their back pretty quickly.
I feel like this whole UK alliance thing would have worked a lot better if it was like an All-Star 6 voting system kind of thing. Because then, like, they don't need to be in the top in order to save you. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I don't think she's sitting here expecting, oh, Gothi Kendall, she is going to save my ass. I know it. Like, that's not what's going through her head, I'm sure.
Right. Well, I wonder also, too, if she also was in a similar boat as Scarlet, where it might be too early to send home a frontrunner like Kata Minaj.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it with Panjani Heels. She played her cards too early, and that was kind of, like, her downfall. I think they're waiting to, like, make any big moves till later in the season. Because you can't eliminate Kata Minaj so quickly, because then that means Marina Summers, La Grande Dame, the other two frontrunners of the season, they're going to be on your tail. Because they know that you would eliminate them at the first chance, so they have to, like, protect their peace and eliminate you back.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, now, after this episode, we are at the midway point. Mm-hmm. So, like, now's the time where, like, if you're going to start making moves, like, now it's like, okay, there's a little bit of more padding than if you did it, like, two episodes ago.
Yeah, yeah. More padding than Scarlet Envy's dress.
Oh! This episode, there wasn't much going on besides Snatch Game and Gothi Kendall. That was kind of, like, the only, like, tea. But something that I noticed in this episode in particular was Marina hasn't had a win since the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
But this episode, I feel like, was the most visible she's been. She was in the confessional. She was kikiing. She was having so much fun. And I remember early on saying, okay, now we know Marina is talented. She's stunning. She's all these things. But I want to see the personality. Now I'm seeing the personality. Yes. Now she feels like a very well-rounded, fully rounded contestant.
Yes. And I think it's really even more than we got to know her in Drag Race Philippines, too. Because the thing with Drag Race Philippines was that even though she was a runner-up, her entire storyline centered around her and her relationship with another queen named Zillouette. And that kind of like dictated their entire relationship, because Zillouette also made it all the way to the finale. And that was kind of her storyline throughout the whole thing. And it seemed that Marina's story and personality was dictated by how she responded to Zillouette and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So this setting, without any other influences of other Filipina drag artists that she might know, I think is allowing her to come into her own and shine on her own and really show everybody who she is without the influence of other storylines that happen outside of the show. This is kind of Marina in a vacuum, and I'm really loving getting to know her like this.
I feel like things are really, like, the tides have shifted, because early on, I really felt like this was going to be the Marina and Le Grand Dame show, but since, like, the second episode, they kind of been, like, a little more subdued in, you know, the performances, and other people are now starting to, like, come forward as threats, like Scarlet Envy, like Tia Coffey, and Hannah Conda.
Mm-hmm. In All-Star seasons, you always see, like, the first few front runners and always think that they're going to be the ones who are dominating the whole season, but All-Stars is very popular for having midpoints where other surprise sleeper hits come forth.
Very that.
Not saying that Scarlett and Tia would be a surprise as front runners, but there's nobody that should be slept on in All-Stars.
I feel like this episode validated a lot of our points from the last episode about how the show is not willing to push the boundaries of cultural references.
Mm-hmm.
Like, RuPaul is not willing to meet queens in the middle. Yep. And I feel like this episode was very evident of that all throughout the workroom chats with Ru.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is kind of like a bigger conversation to have, because, like, it definitely, we chatted about it a lot last episode, but it was even more, like, annoying to me to watch in this episode, specifically with Le Grand Dame, who had this concept that she wanted to do. I have the names up. Yeah, she wanted to be
or Carla Bruni.
Yes. Yeah. And RuPaul was like, she was upset that she was putting on an accent onto her accent, almost like French people can only speak in one specific way. Like, it's like saying, okay, well, you're American, why are you putting on a Southern accent? I don't get it.
Yeah. It was, and you can see also in situations like that where RuPaul and Michelle did this last week too, where they try to scramble and say, it's not your accent, it's not your accent. But it's fairly clear that they have a problem with her accent. And because RuPaul was like, it's not your accent because you're doing this thing where you're piercing your lips or something like that. Just talk, because you already have an accent. So just talk how you normally would. And that kind of almost trivializes, I think, if that makes sense, that almost like trivializes sort of their cultural differences in a challenge like Snatch Game. You know, it's very similar to how RuPaul only responds to Spanish-speaking queens when they do, like, a Spanish-speaking, like, caricature. You know, that's in Snatch Game scenarios.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a common problem that RuPaul and Michelle in particular have always had with international queens. They have one shtick that they assume about everybody from a certain country, and they want that queen to realize that shtick, even though it's more nuanced than that.
Yeah. No, exactly. It almost felt like with the workroom entrances and the critiques, it's like they didn't care about the impersonation. Like, they were like, just do whatever, have fun, don't worry about the accent, like, don't even worry about it. And it's almost like they were, like, maybe worried that it would be hard to understand for the audience, like, these thick accents, when, like, mm-hmm. girl, like, we watch with captions, like, you know what I mean? Like, we watch all the, it doesn't matter, that they literally speak different languages and we don't care.
Yeah, and I wonder if that was sort of, like, maybe their way of showing an effort to, like, accommodate all these queens with different language skills. You know, like, they weren't too strung up on the impersonation itself, but rather do whatever. Maybe that was, like, a way of them trying to be accommodating, but it just didn't work in that regard. Because there's still those biases, I think, that's seep through.
Well, and I feel like it sends kind of, like, a mixed message of, like, this is kind of piling onto some of the stuff from season 16 Snatch Game, where, like, people were upset that they weren't even doing real people, that they were just doing whatever. Uh-huh. And now you have Ru and Michelle being like, don't even worry if you sound like them. Who cares? Just be funny. It's like, okay, well, this at the core of this challenge is an impersonation challenge.
Yeah.
So to tell people, don't even bother impersonating. Just, you know, throw on your own accent. Who cares? Like, that's literally breaking the point of the whole challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think we're really hitting a point where Snatch Game needs to either be A, reworked, or B, retired. And I made a TikTok about this, but I really think, especially in these Versus the World and Global All-Stars settings, you have to rework it and you have to retire it, because these queens are at such a disadvantage already. And then now that you have the authority figures like RuPaul and Michelle telling them, you already have an accent, so just keep that accent. It's getting to a point where we kind of lost the plot almost. Mm-hmm. And so I think that somebody, some producer, even RuPaul himself, needs to sit down and really think of ways to either retire Snatch Game or be rework it to be more accommodating to these ESL queens. And to also, like, understand that Snatch Game is not what it used to be. And figure out maybe there's a way that we can either rework it to match this new energy that we're seeing in 2023 for Snatch Game, or try to, like, reel the queens in to bring back to what Snatch Game used to be. I don't know. I think somebody needs to sit down at the drawing board.
I think part of the issue is that RuPaul does not want to be here. Like, I think during the critiques, it was a lot better. But in the Snatch Game itself, in the workroom stuff, she was so lifeless. Mm. Like, we know Ru, when she's having a good time, she did not want to be there. She does not want to be here for this season. And I think that's so evident. And I think it is kind of because she feels maybe a little bit out of her depths. You know what I mean? Like, she can only critique things based on her knowledge of what she knows. And she's now forced to, like, try and understand these queens from around the world, where she very clearly is not watching their seasons or whatever. She's just kind of winging it. And I think you can tell she's winging it. And she's just probably more stressed than she needs to be.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think it would be so important to have regular judges or guest judges from franchises around the world. Like, imagine if this episode, Nikki Doll and Paola Ballesteros were like this two Snatch Game players or something like that.
Yes. Granted,
that could be tilted in the favor of like Le Grand Dame and Marina as like the French and Filipina representation. But either way, my point is, it's more important than ever, especially in UK versus the World 2, where we have, what, 7 franchises represented? Especially a season as diverse as that, I think it would add a lot of layers and help to RuPaul to have these other judges sort of jump in.
Because I noticed she would volley with Scarlett, she would volley with Tia, she would volley with Hannah, but when it came to Le Grand Dame, when it came to Marina Summers, she gave them literally nothing. Like, you literally had Marina, nothing. Like, duck walking around as Manny Pacquiao, and RuPaul's literally like, cool! Like,
yes! Like, RuPaul did not give a fuck. He did not give a fuck. And with Kenna Minaj's Fran Dreschner, I'll never forget this. When Kenna was like, I said turkey, and RuPaul just said, oh, okay. Like,
yes,
at least give Kenna an opportunity to like respond and explain her answer or something.
Well, and let's be real. Those three ESL queens should have more volley with Ru. Ru should give them more opportunities to try, because they have a much harder, like, it's harder for them to make comedy work in a second language than everyone else doing it in their first.
Yep.
So they should get a little bit more of like a, oh, like, what about this? Huh? Like, give them more opportunities to make something work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she gave them literally nothing.
It's like what I do with you every day in this podcast.
And we're still waiting for it to work. Yeah. It was very frustrating to watch. And to be honest, I think this season is failing because RuPaul did not put in the work necessary to make it work. Because you have her referencing Tia Coffey's season. You have her referencing Hannah Conda's season and Scarlett. Like, things that have happened. She has never mentioned anything from someone's season except, oh, you won a Snatch Game. Or, oh, you won this challenge, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Nothing specific. Nothing, like, referential.
Yeah. Especially when you compare it to Michelle Visage, who very clearly has done at least a little bit of homework. Like, when she said with Arantxa, she was like, oh, your fashion on your season wasn't all that, wasn't it?
She's like, I know that you look like shit, so there's something.
And so it's just like RuPaul, and RuPaul is a busy, busy woman, so I wouldn't put it past her that she wouldn't watch a single one of these international seasons. But that is why somebody else should do the homework for her, at least, and put, like, a piece of paper in front of her. Here's the key takeaways from her season. So you at least know what you're talking about instead of just saying, oh, you won Snatch Game, didn't you? Maybe you want to ask her, you won Snatch Game doing what character? You won Snatch Game, or maybe asking queens like Le Grand Dame, what makes a good Snatch Game in France, and how can you adapt that to the UK, you know? Those sort of things, like, but RuPaul is getting to an age where she just wants one thing and doesn't want, you know, I don't know.
There's these, like, rumors that Michelle's taking over Down Under. I feel like Michelle should take over versus the Worlds and stuff, because, like, she has less on her plate than Ru. She has more time to actually put into, like, doing the research necessary. And I think she can volley just as well as Ru, which we saw a couple of episodes prior. So, like, this is not, for me personally, as a viewer, this is not working. If they're going to continue doing these seasons, I feel like there needs to be some kind of switch up. Whether they force RuPaul to watch everything, or whether they give her notes, like, there needs to be something different to make this work.
Yeah, because RuPaul, no matter how old she gets, she loves Drag Race, but you only see that vitality when she does regular seasons of US, regular All-Stars seasons, and maybe regular UK. She doesn't have that vitality when she does Versus the World. She doesn't have that vitality when she does Down Under, even though she pretends she does. And it makes me scared for Global All-Stars. Because this woman has worked this year, well, yeah, this woman has worked in four different continents just for Drag Race alone.
Mm-hmm.
There's only so much energy she can spare.
Like, you can even tell when RuPaul's not enjoying a UK season or a US season or an all, like, she didn't give a shit about All-Stars 8. She knew that was a train wreck while it was happening. But you can tell when she was there on, like, All-Stars 6, she was living her best life. For this season 16, I think she's having a really good time. But season 15, I feel like she was kind of like, eh. Like, you can tell when she vibes with the cast. I think she realized maybe that she was out of her depths a little bit, and so it's even harder for her to connect with this cast.
Right. Because even on, like, regular UK seasons, she can just make, like, United Kingdom jokes all day long, and everybody will get it. But then you have some UK queens here, but then most of the cast, half of the cast is literally from countries that might not have popular Western pop culture references they can easily get right away. You know, you can walk into a UK workroom and say, "You ain't my mother," and everyone will in the room will get it. But if you walk into UK Versus the World and talk to La Grande Dame and say fruit juice, RuPaul's going to be like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
RuPaul's going to go, "You mean croissant?" if La Grande Dame, this is the real fucking tea. If La Grande Dame did fucking Petit Le Pew and just screamed croissant in the Snatch Game, RuPaul would be doubled over screaming. You would need to take her out on a stretcher.
Petit Le Pew. Got it. I'm on a stretcher right now. Petit Le Pew. Oh, God. Petit Le Pew. I can't even say it. Oh, my God. Is that the Looney Tunes character?
Yes.
I'm screaming.
So the big storyline for this episode was Gothy Kendall, who had a kind of like a rough start in the first episode, but has gotten by being safe / high safe in the last episode. But this episode was low-key a train wreck. And it was one of those things where you can see the person in the car crash unable to do anything to stop it from happening. Like, she was deer in headlights the entire episode. What are your thoughts on Gothy as of right now in this competition?
Gothy is that rare instance of a queen on Drag Race that really frustrates me in a way, because in challenges like Snatch Game, the specific point of frustration here is when they don't even try to sort of volley back with RuPaul. Like in the workroom, there was that horrendous, horrendous moment of torture where RuPaul was forcing Gothy to try to say something funny as whoever, I don't remember who it was.
As Ozzy Osbourne.
And RuPaul was like literally there with his throat around Gothy's neck and saying, "Say something funny. As Ozzy Osbourne, say something funny." And Gothy was like, I can't. I literally can't. But it's like, she didn't even try to say something. It's like when there's that mini challenge on Canada 4.
Yes.
And Girlfriend Experience and Denim just like just started giggling and didn't say anything, didn't even try to say they something funny.
Yes.
You know, it's like, we're all rooting for you here. Please, we're begging you, just try to say something, you know?
I'm like kind of relating it to like Survivor. It's like when someone is on Survivor and they're in the rain and they're like, I cannot do this, I'm quitting, and they quit. It's like, there are so many people who would love to go on Survivor and sit in the rain and be miserable, but like, will just be grateful for the experience. So it sucks to see someone there who like, they just can't make it work. They cannot push themselves to where they need to be to compete mm-hmm. on this show.
And see, like, I don't even get frustrated by the fact that I'm not one of the type of people that's like, somebody else could have had your spot and you're just giving up. It's not even that. It's just like, I want to sit here and genuinely see these queens perform at their best. And so I just get disappointed. And I'm like, I'm just rooting for you so much here, Gothy. Just give us something. You know, that's where I'm at with this.
I really don't think we've seen a moment like this in the workroom with her and Rue before ever. Where RuPaul is literally like, I'm gonna punch you. You know that episode of SpongeBob where Sandy is like hibernating? And she like rips Patrick's head off?
Yeah.
That was RuPaul.
Like,
and Gothy was literally just like, she was frozen. Scarlett was standing there like trying to help her, but there's really nothing she could do. Mm-hmm. And everyone else in the workroom was just cringing.
Yeah.
Because it just like, it just kept going on. RuPaul would not let it go, which I'm glad she didn't. I'm glad she was like, Gothy, like, this is your moment. I'm going to force you to like,
RuPaul is a fucking,
make it worth it.
RuPaul's a goddamn sadist. What the...
at the same time, though, like, if you're here, you need some tough love. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, it is either, like, go home or try. And I want to force you to try as much as I can before you go home.
It's like in those, especially in the early seasons of Drag Race, where RuPaul very much was like, I called you here for a reason. And what did she say mm-hmm. What did she say in season one? She's like, I flew you first class to this competition. You know, I think she also wants to see the best for all of the queens. Like, she wanted Gothy back for a reason. Although I don't know how much influence RuPaul has in the casting nowadays, especially for All-Star seasons. But I know that at some point in time, she also wants to see the best for these queens. So that's why she probably got Gothy here. And she's like, Gothy, do something. Like, anything.
She's like, I know what you can do on your OnlyFans. Now put that into your performance in this Snatch game.
Oh, my God. I've seen you take it. Now give it.
Please. The fact that then she stays too, it's like,
which is out of her control, obviously.
Yes, obviously. It's a rough watch. It doesn't lead to a satisfying conclusion with someone like Kata Minaj, who wants to be there so bad, who's like giving it all that she has, goes home instead. You know what I mean? Like, that's just not a satisfying, two like satisfying eliminations that are complete, or two unsatisfying eliminations that are completely fair happened this week on Drag Race with Plasma and Kata Minaj. So, do we just get into the Snatch game?
I suppose if we have to.
So, let's start off with the bad before we get to the good. So, the two special guests are Jane McDonald and Sunita, who, you know, don't know who they are, but they were lovely. I wish they were guest judges, because they, like, were there for the Snatch game, and then they were just never seen again. Yep.
I'm familiar with neither of them, but they seem like lovely, lovely people.
Especially, Jane McDonald was really funny.
Oh, and she got that group.
Aww. And she got stuck with the booger group. So, let us start off with La Grande Dame, who was Carla Bruni in the Snatch game. And then on the runway, they were all, the theme was like cruising.
Yeah.
Like on cruising. So on the runway, she wore a Jean Paul Gaultier original. And what did you think of La Grande Dame?
Dare I say, I do think that they tried to present La Grande Dame as less funny than what she was. I think La Grande Dame had a couple of funny jokes. Dare I say that Eiffel Tower joke about her and RuPaul, that was funny. I'm sorry. I thought that was funny.
She said they take thousands anally instead of annually.
Yes, I lived for it. I don't know. But I think she was a well-deserved low. I'm going to say this right now to the audience listening. This Snatch game, I don't think anybody did above good. And even that good, there was only one person who did good, in my opinion. So La Grande Dame, by default, I think got a low placement here. Her runway, I really liked. I really, really liked it. Until she turned around, and it was, I don't know what it was, but it looked unbuttoned. I don't know if that was a choice, or if that was like a Jean-Baptiste Gaultier, like, custom, but where it was, like, unbuttoned at the nape of her neck. That just completely took me out of it. That lost me a little bit.
I thought you were going to say, because at the front, where, like, the... It looks like some kind of tool. Where it meets, there's, like, a little, like, button. And on the back, it looked like a little butthole.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, the runway... This was an incredible runway.
Yeah.
There was not a bad look. There were just some looks that were better than others. I preferred other looks to this one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still stunning. Obviously, like, it's Jean-Paul Gaultier. It's going to be stunning.
No, imagine...
Just other things excited me more.
Imagine... You go on to, like, International Drag Race, and you have the nerve to say, yes, I brought a Jean-Paul Gaultier custom dress with me. I'd be quaking if I were the other girls.
Well, and the fact that, like, I feel like they liked the runway, but I feel like they weren't even, like, they didn't really make it a big deal.
No.
That it was like, oh, you're wearing Jean-Paul Gaultier on the Drag Race runway. They were like, who made this? Jean-Paul Gaultier. Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Which I think is, like, a good thing, too, because I don't think just wearing custom gold-tier designers by its very virtue should get you bonus points.
Mm-hmm.
It should be, like, how does it respond to the prompt and how well do you wear it? I think those are the considerations that should be there. But if I were, like, other competitors and I heard that this bitch has connections to people like Jean-Paul Gaultier, damn. Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, as an anti-establishment, anti-capitalist, that meant nothing to me, but I understood why it meant a lot to other people. RuPaul, she did not follow RuPaul's critique, and she was punished for it because RuPaul did not play with her. She did not volley with her. Every response that she gave, even if it warranted a little chuckle, RuPaul was like, anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
So I think that she was probably, like, a little bit funnier than the edit would have, like, told us, but she still is getting an overall cold case from me. For the week.
I will give her an open case. I'll give her an open case. I don't think she's, like, plummeting. I think she's going to get her chance to redeem herself. I think she's going to get, like, one bottom placement. One singular bottom placement where she's up for elimination. But I think she'll be fine. And then that's when we see, like, a little bit uptick for her. Where she gets back maybe, I think one more win in her. You know?
Okay.
I think she'll get another win somewhere down the line. But it's just, like, we're at a weird place where she started so strong. Anytime that she goes below that, we're just going to automatically think she's underperforming.
The win-win, low-low is pretty crazy.
Kind of iconic, dare I say.
Moving on to Ms. Gothy Kendall, who was Kim Woodburn, who, like, listen, I can't remember the name of that show that she was on, but I watched it all the time as a kid. My mom and I loved that show, that cleaning show. So I know Kim Woodburn. That was not Kim Woodburn! That was not Kim Woodburn! She didn't look like her. I mean, obviously she had the iconic pink jacket, but, like, the makeup was not giving Kim. Nothing was giving Kim in the personality. And then on the runway, she did a Birth of Venus recreation look that, again, is stunning, but, like... It's just not enough.
I didn't realize the Kim Woodburn police, the stands were here.
Oh, that's the burners. The burners are in heat over this.
Oh, you love Tina
performance.
Burner? Oh.
That's the collab that we need. Tina and Kim Woodburn.
Overall, with the Snatch Game and the runway judged as one, this was the overall worst performance of the week. This was like a Gothy Kendall torture power hour. Like, we had to watch Gothy get just absolutely flounder everywhere in the challenge, in the walkthrough, in the runway, and even in deliberations. It was very unfortunate to watch. The Snatch Game was a crash and burn. The runway was good. But Derek, dare I say, this is like the same corset we've seen her wear four times so far. I mean, I went back and looked at all her other runways, and it is that same kind of silhouette. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot to take in for anybody. And you could tell by the times deliberations were happening, she was checked out. She was done. She was not fighting to be there. She literally told Tia Coffey, I'm not going to be able to, like, take in this critique and, like, fix anything I'm doing while I'm here. So you might as well just send me home. And Tia was like, I hear you, sister, but I'm going to not do that.
No, Tia was like, oh, so this is a code. Wink, wink. this is a strategy. I see. Wink, wink.
Right, right. Exactly. Obviously, Gothy is a cold case, unfortunately, for this episode. But maybe
frozen
she's...
Frozen case.
Please. Please. Maybe she's, like, the best singer of the bunch, and maybe she'll win the Rusical.
I have no knowledge of her singing abilities, so...
Noodles
I hope,
literally
I
just
so.
Said, be fucking for real. up next, we have Kata Minaj, who is Fran Drescher, who, again, grew up with Miss Fran, with the nanny, with Miss Fine. That was not Fran Drescher.
Well...
At all.
Voice down. Voice...
No.
Yes.
No!
I mean, okay, like... Out of every Fran Drescher we've seen on Drag Race, that is including Jocelyn Fox and Jujubee, that was the best Fran Drescher voice we've had.
No, disagree. Yes.
Who's better? Who did better? Who had a better voice?
I think Courtney was better. Jocelyn was better for sure. I would need to listen to Jujubee's again. It was literally not even close to Fran Drescher.
You might be right. I haven't watched the Nana in years.
Please. You're like, I know Fran Drescher. Actually,
I watch all the pirated clips on TikTok.
I think that it is very hard to be funny in a second language. I think there's a lot of pressure of that coming into this challenge. You know that's going to be a barrier. I think she might have gotten in her head knowing she won the Snatch Game before. Like, there's going to be big expectations. And, I mean, she was so nervous. Mm-hmm. She was so nervous.
I don't know what it was, but I wonder if... Kata competing in an all-English setting might have threw her off a bit. You know, even in her Snatch Game on her original season when she did Sophie Anderson, that performance was mostly in English when she did that. So we know she can be funny in English, but I wonder if her being in an all-English setting, that kind of threw her off a bit. Like, she might have looked in there and she said, I'm going up against Theresa May and Tia Coffey and Hannah Conda. You know, Tia Coffey and Hannah Conda might be two of some of the funniest bitches in Drag Race ever. I wonder if she shut down because of that. But it was very unfortunate. I think it was just a multitude of factors. The language barrier, her getting in her head, RuPaul not giving a fuck. You know, it was just all those things. I don't know.
Because, I mean, I imagine, like, in her Snatch Game, like, it was in English, but if she didn't know how to say something in English, she could just switch over to Dutch. Like,
exactly.
Give us a Dutchlish.
Exactly.
But here, there's not that option.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she could have just started talking in Dutch in the Fran Drescher's voice.
That would be funny.
It was just an unfortunate performance for Kata Minaj. Her runway was spectacular.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, it was so chic, so stunning. But that poor Snatch Game performance, unfortunately, there was very little to come back for that. And it's very sad to see. It's R.I.P. my queen. I lost.
I know. Well, I texted you. I'm like, we both lost. I lost Plasma. You lost Kata Minaj.
I know. It's
we're both in mourning.
No, literally. I'm wearing black right now, actually.
I needed an extra therapy appointment with my therapist.
With BetterHelp?
No.
Wait, what's that app called? It's called BetterHelp, right?
BetterHelp.
BetterHelp. That's it.
Not with BetterHelp. Stop giving them... Gay people, stop doing sponsorships with them. Yeah, Kata's look is everything to me. Like, the asymmetrical nature. It could have been way too much because almost everything is different on either side. But it works. And I wish she was around a little bit longer so that we could see more of her iconic looks.
Yeah. But although I don't think this is going to be the last time we'll see Kata Minaj. I really don't.
Didn't you say that last week, too? About Jombers Blonde?
I want to say that about everybody, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, but, like, to be fair, like, I think UK versus the World is the last time we'll see Mayhem Miller.
Wow. You really just wanted to dig that knife deeper into
and
my
dare
soul.
I say, it's going
to
be the last that we'll see Teresa, probably.
Gothy Kendall?
No, she's coming back for Global All-Stars. Yeah, it's despite the amazing runway, I think I'm going to give Keda a cold case.
Cold case.
Yeah.
So last up on their team was Marina Summers, who was Manny Pacquiao, and this was by far the best.
Well,
but she was stunted because she was saying funny things, and RuPaul was really like, anyway, moving on to the next bitch.
Yeah.
Like, nothing that she said was cringy. Nothing that she said was not funny. But when you're not getting any response back from Ru, it's only going to go so far.
Yeah. Like, there were so many funny, potential funny moments that she had. Like, when she started doing her dance routine in front of the stage and she showed off her belt. I don't remember what the belt said, but she, like, tried to, like, create a joke out of it. And the RuPaul said, oh, your belt says this. Okay. And then Marina just had to, like, walk away defeated back to her seat.
I mean, it's literally a direct comparison of Hannah Conda doing a tap dance routine and RuPaul is, like, dying.
Yeah.
But Marina is doing a duck walk as Manny Pacquiao and RuPaul is literally, like, you'd think that, like, someone just died. Her face is, like, whatever.
I wonder if, it like, part of it was just the other team was doing so bad that RuPaul, her mood was already killed for that team. It felt like probably like a chore for her to go back to that team and talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Marina also
she was
had,
able
like,
to laugh at Alexis Mateo when she was in that group with Cracker and India and Blair.
True, but that's only three people. But when you have to like repeatedly go back and talk to every that's single true. One of these queens, and Marina had to be last of that group. Yeah, Marina was fighting for her life just because RuPaul did not give a fuck.
But her runway look was so fun. She has, like, this, like, 10-foot-long ponytail that has an anchor at the end of it. Then she has these, like, liquid titties that I don't know how that works. This was very different from anything she's worn before on this season, and I loved it. It was also very different from what everyone else was wearing.
It was my favorite runway of the episode.
Hands was down. It really?
Hands down. It was better than... I can't say it was better. It was... I preferred it over Scarlett's. I preferred it over Keda's. I know it's just a bodysuit, but I thought, like, the detailing in the bodysuit with the water titties and the anchor hair. It was just so creative that I thought really brought that over the edge. Just when she dropped anchor and she went back to the stage and she had to pull it all in.
Reel it all in.
And see, like, that's, like... That's Marina Summers showing another side of her humor. Like, the way that she was just sitting there and smiling as she was pulling in. And it was very funny, very humorous. I love this look.
Same. Mm-hmm. I love her. Love her. Yep. Obsessed with her.
Yep.
Mother.
Oh, it sounded like there was going to be a button there. I was like, what are you going to say?
But.
Oh, no.
But. I have nothing.
Yeah, this is... I'm going to give her a closed case. I thought her snatch game was passable, but it only because RuPaul wasn't even bothering to give her anything to work with. And I thought her like material that she brought was like, okay. But the runway, the other extra things that she brought to the snatch game, I'm going to give her a closed case.
Yep, I'm giving her a closed case as well. So now we move on to the other group, or as I like to call them, the winners, because they were so much better. Starting off with Hannah Conda, who was in the top two this week, her first top placement of the Woo! Season. She was Shirley Temple in the Snatch Game, which I'm sure she hadn't seen Jimbo's yet, because they filmed this season ages ago.
Yeah.
And then on the runway, she was giving kind of like, she was like going on the Titanic. Like Scarlett was like the dead person who got off the Titanic. And Please. Hannah was like the rich socialite getting on the Titanic. Hannah Conda, thoughts?
Hannah Conda, I liked her runway a lot. It was giving very Gilded Age when they go on vacation to Newport in Upper New York. And it was very 1890s socialite. I really liked it a lot. Her snatch game, I thought was good. It was like one of the few quote-unquote good ones of the episode. Again, it was probably like she had no clue Jimbo did it, and unfortunately we have to live in a world where we do have to compare it to Jimbo's, which was Jimbo's was good too.
Jimbo's was great. My favorite part of the one thing I will remember from this whole snatch game is when she gets the question, what's like a red flag in someone that you date, and she's like, that they date me at all. I'm only seven.
I'm only seven.
Yeah, she had some she really good moments. Yeah. It's just crazy, too, that somebody pointed this out on Twitter. I don't remember who. Hannah Conda is a two-time Snatch Game winner, and both of her Snatch Games were won by people who won for the same character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, good yep for you, Hannah. Always doing second.
Please! Oh,
okay. My okay God. I'm going to say this. Hannah had the better Liza Minnelli, but Jimbo had the better Shirley Temple, I think.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I liked Alexis's Liza better, I think, still.
I remember one joke from Alexis's that was like, it's Liza with a Z, which is like just something that
you don't...
Liza says. But then the one joke I remember from Hannah was when she was like, good luck putting that in the subtitles. You know, like,
no, do you not remember when Alexis was like, my mother looked straight to me and all of the other homosexuals?
Oh, God. They're both very good.
She did good.
I don't really have many nuanced thoughts about it. It was like, yeah, it was good. It was like deservedly top two.
Yeah, I mean, she was good. The runway was good. She gets a close case.
Oh, yeah, closed. Yeah.
So next up, we have Scarlet Envy, who did her first Snatch Game ever, and she decided to do the Statue of Liberty with a nice little, it was a New York mm-hmm accent, and she was really, really good, and dare I say, she could have been top two.
Why?
I feel like she was just as funny as Hannah and Tia was. Like, none of them were like a laugh riot, but they all had like really good moments. But Scarlett also had my favorite runway of the entire episode. I mean, she did this, like, waterlogged, zombified rose from the Titanic. And it was, like, so detailed. It was almost like her Pisces look from season 11, but just, like, amplified even more. So
okay.
I thought she did an amazing job this week. And I would have, I think I would have put her in the top two.
And you said it with your full chest.
Ooh.
I would agree, except I don't.
Please.
So I loved Scarlett's look. It was my second favorite of the week. I don't think her Snatch Game was up to par to Tia's or Hannah's. When I say that this Snatch Game might be one of the worst, I do mean because only two people did the best, and that best was only good at most. I think Scarlett did okay. She had, like, some funny quips with, like, the accent as, like, a hi, RuPaul, and then, like, the, oh, can I put my torch down? My arm is so tired. I just didn't find
her. I didn't find
a lot of the jokes to be funny, to my taste, at least. Her runway, though, was really good. I will give her her flowers for that. But I would put her as high with that in mind, but it's not like there was much competition for that high placement.
I was so mad she didn't do the I'm feeling very excited.
Excited! You have to say that with your full tits out. Hi, RuPaul, I'm very excited.
No, please. She should have had like a full breastplate, like huge, like Jimbo titties.
Well, ever since I moved to New York, I just had to get a breast.
Imagine if she had like a reveal. And then just have, like, this, like, skimpy little dress with, like, huge boobs.
Because, you know, I've been flat-chested for 270 years.
Please, yes.
Oh, my God. It's giving, like, Miss America pageant where they had, like, the bikini competition and she just has the torch up. I got my green velvet glasses.
Yeah, no, there was definitely more she could have done with this, but I'm still going to give her a cold case. A close case.
I'll give her a close case.
Up next, we have Theresa May, who was Catherine of Aragon in the Snatch Game. And then on the runway, she had a little, like, squiddy tentacle bitch. Theresa was good. I think you could tell that she had bits planned. Like, some of the things, like, you could tell were a little bit more rehearsed. But I still think she was funny. Like, I think funnier at the start than at the end. But she was safe, and I feel like it was a deserved safe performance from Theresa,
I would agree with that.
I loved this runway. I love anything latex. I love the color palette. It's so stupid with like the three titties, and it's just really cute. I love the tentacles like coming out of the head and the shoe. Like, very well done, very like thought out concept. So I appreciated that, and I'm gonna give Theresa a close case.
Yeah, Theresa did good. She did fine this week. Nothing to write home about. I'm not going to think about the Snatch Game performance in 2 weeks. This runway was cute. I really liked it.
I love an inflatable titty.
You love inflatable titties.
Who doesn't?
I'm going to give her an open case.
Up next, I guess last, we have Tia Coffey as Anne Boleyn, who was another wife of King someone that I don't remember who was the king of whatever. So Tia won. She was really funny. I think it was a nice visual gag of her, like, holding her head in her arms. She was able to volley with Rue. She had a lot of funny, like, facial expressions and stuff. Overall, it was a really good snatch game. And then on the runway, she did another kind of inflatable moment. But unlike Chiriza's, which was, it kind of felt like a head-to-toe art piece, this was just like a latex bodysuit with some tentacles on the back. And I think it was kind of unfortunate that Chiriza came out first. I think she came out first. Because this, it made Tia's feel less, like, impactful. I like Tia's look. I think it needed something else to, like, push it to the next level.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I like the concept. I wish, like, it was just, like, so much. I just wish there was a little bit more. I wish the tentacles were a little bit bigger. I wish there were maybe, like, more white coloring on the outfit. It just felt very small in scope, this look.
Yes.
It's like, I like it, but I just wish it was just more there. More something we can dig our teeth into, and not just the calamari.
Which, oh, give me a calamari fry and I am in heaven. Well, here's the thing, too. Like, there was almost like a, oh no, Chiriza and Tia are doing very similar characters. Like, that could go horribly wrong. I'm like, bitch, it's not going to go horribly wrong because they have so much material to work with, like, to volley with. And they didn't volley almost at all. And I thought that was a huge missed opportunity.
Well, dare I say, that's because of the random format that they had with the Snatch game. Their family feud that they did was just like they went down the line one by one to say their answers. But there wasn't any opportunity for the other girls to volley back at them just because of, like, the Family Feud edition. So I think that was, like, a huge missed opportunity that, like, they didn't consider when they decided to do the Family Feud.
Because there was no volleying.
Not anywhere. At all.
I felt like because it was so structured.
Yeah. Not at all.
But Tia's getting a close case still for me anyway.
Yeah. Tia is, like, the other half of, like, the two I say only did good. I think Tia had the best Snatch game. She had the funniest jokes for me. This runway, though, it's unfortunately just a little small, but overall, I'm going to give her a closed case.
And what a redemption from going home on Snatch Game to winning the Snatch Game episode.
Yes. Yes.
Two wins in a row for Tia Coffey.
Good for her. I love that for her. I really do. What do we think of Scarlett picking a team of Tia, Hannah, and Chiriza?
Oh, I forgot about that. I would have picked funny people too, to be honest with you, because my thought process would go, okay, I want to volley with these people.
Yeah.
But if they're giving me nothing, then I'm going to have nothing to, like, go off of.
Right. That was a very smart move on Scarlett's part. But I was saying the other day too, I think I said this to you, Scarlett was such a producer for that, because not only did she pick people who were very funny, Chiriza, Hannah, and Tia, but dare I say, I think I saw the producer wheels turning behind her eyes, because she saw Chiriza and Tia as two Snatch Game losers. And she said, this is the storyline that they're probably going to push, the redemption. I'm going to stick to them. I wonder. I think Scarlett's kind of like a really, this is a new side of Scarlett Envy. Like, she's kind of such a producer this season.
She's done this shit so many times. She has cracked the code. I am Scarlett Envy, and I have cracked the code.
Okay, Sasha Bell. Oh, sorry, Frisbee Jenkins. Pardon me.
Frisbee. That OnlyFans, worth it. That's all I'll say.
I'm not going to inquire further.
And I don't need Bussy Queen to tell me yes or no on that. Do you remember when she did all of the OnlyFans?
No.
The Queens put out? She subscribed. She did a video. It was honestly iconic, where she, like, subscribed to all of the OnlyFans of all of the queens and, like, gave her, like, opinions on, like, is this worth the money? Yes or no?
I did not know that.
We have our top two of Hannah Conda and Tia Coffey, and our bottom two of Kata Minaj and Gothy Kendall. Now, when they're into deliberations, Gothy very much is giving up. And Kata is disappointed in herself, but is definitely like, I want to be here. I want to prove why I deserve to be here. And Tia Coffee said, oh, so cute. Anyway.
Work.
Party.
Party. That's what it was. Party.
Kata's like, I want to be here so bad. I would give you my firstborn child to be here. Party.
No, Kata's sitting there. She's like, Tia, be a sister. Work.
Gothy's like, I will not do any better. I don't want to do better. I don't care to do better. And Tia's like, she just has this fire in her.
I've never seen a vitality like I have in Gothy Kendall.
It's like that Sarah Paulson. It's like, I keep dropping hints that I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here.
Now, I have to say, I've been saying, as all throughout España All-Stars, did you hear the tea about Sagittaria on España All-Stars?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Sagittaria was there and she was like, I want to leave. And I was sitting there thinking, like, I thought Jiriji was going to pick Ornella Gongora to go home and force Sagittaria to stay. And I was thinking about how kind of iconic that would be. Little did I know, 1 week later, it just happened with Gabi Gendal. It's kind of crazy.
So they lip sync Hannah and Tia. And Tia gives it she goes the comedy approach, which I think really worked. Because it's like crying on the dance floor or something like that. And she like pulls out tissues. Mm-hmm. She's like having a tantrum on the ground. And Hannah does the thing where like she keeps going over to like try and like jump in on the storyline. But like, babes, that means you're like second fiddle to Tia's moment.
Yeah.
So
this is not a very lip sync heavy season, is it? Marina had a really good lip sync at the start.
Scarlett did a really good job last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I am still not sold on this season.
Mm.
Like, we're getting to the point where, like, if I wasn't doing this podcast, I might forget to watch it.
And I'm forcing you in.
And you would be like, so what did you think? And I'd be like, about what? And you'd be like,
Survivor.
You bitch, you better.
You're going to be like, oh, I love Survivor. I was like, I was talking about UK, girl.
Girl, have you not watched Survivor yet?
Not yet. I've been meaning to.
I'm just going to text you. I'm going to send you spoilers one a day that get increasingly more and more, like, spoilery.
From, like, the whole show? Or, like, the season?
Yes. Oh, I'll do the whole show. If we want to play that game.
No, you probably, like, read all my texts about how excited I am for season 8 for the first All-Stars, and you're about to send me the entire elimination order.
I'm going
to
go first out, blank. Second and third out, blank. Fourth, fifth, and sixth each day.
Not the exponential rate.
Yes!
The spoilers with interest.
No, literally. That's exactly what I'm going to do. The season is so good. The premiere was so good.
Really? Okay. I'll have to watch.
Iconic first out.
Okay, but do you think it's going to be like season 45 good?
It's too soon to say, but almost everyone got like moments to shine.
Okay.
And I like so many people.
Okay. I'll watch probably tonight then, if not tomorrow. Sorry, are we starting a Survivor podcast? Is that what's happening right now?
I mean, we should.
Oh my, wouldn't that be fun if we did like a Survivor podcast as I'm watching these seasons for the first time?
Yes. And
you jump in as the expert and I'm just over here like a little doofus. I'm like, I really liked, I don't know, Linda. I really liked Linda.
That's what our texts are like.
That's true.
You're like, okay, random question. And I'm like, here's the answer. Or you're like, I really like this person. And I'm like, bestie, no one cares about Linda from fucking Survivor Africa.
Linda is one of my favorites of all time. I don't care. The way that she acted a fool to, what's his name, Silas. And she knelt in front of Silas and she's like, get together, team. I love her.
When she went to go hug Lindsay, she's like, didn't your mother ever hug you? Give me a real hug.
She's so funny. Please bring her back to Survivor 47.
The basis of like, if I really like a Survivor or I don't give a shit about them is if I know their last name. Linda Blank. I don't know her last name. Girl. So.
Well, luckily, I don't know a single person's last name on Survivor ever. I know Austin Lee Kuhn, and that's it. Just because I want to date him.
If you guys want a Survivor thing, I feel like that would be really cute.
Because everyone, I'm like just watching Survivor for the first time, but Derek is a Survivor, not even expert, like fanatic. Like, he's a Survivor zealot. And
I know just as much about Survivor as I do about Drag Race. My first ever memory on this earth is watching Ethan Zahn win Survivor Africa.
Oh, yeah, he did win, didn't he? Oh, I liked him. Yeah, so I feel like that'd be a fun dynamic of, like, this is my first time watching Survivor ever. You over here as an expert.
And me mansplaining Survivor to you. You mansplained this cast to me. I'll mansplain Survivor to you.
Yes.
Tweet us if you want Dread or Survivor content.
Please. Because
I think we're both, yeah.
Where were
Tatum we? Minaj goes home. That sucks.
R.I.P. We lost today. I'm over here. My heart is breaking and you have nothing to say to me.
That sucks.
You're like... You're like when two people are in a relationship and the girl is like in a heteronormative relationship and the girl like lists everything that's wrong and the guy goes, well, what do you want me to say? It's like, I'm like,
sorry.
Kenna Minaj screaming, crying, throwing up that she went home.
That sucks.
Damn, Derek, you have no sympathy.
No, that sucks. I wanted her to stay. I wanted her to stay. What else do you want me to fucking say?
My God. Well, yeah, I mean, you have as much energy about it as RuPaul did, so.
Exactly. And I'm only as excited about a season as RuPaul is. So,
damn.
Am I excited about this season? Not really.
Damn, that's crazy. Well, what would make the season exciting for you?
Better performances in the challenges, cuz that's two episodes in a row now that most people have flopped. More energy from the host? Is that too much to ask? But honestly, the only thing that this season I think is really delivering on is runways.
Yeah. Yeah. And confessionals, dare I say.
Now that Marina has a stake in that game, yes.
Yes. This is a very La Grande Dame heavy confessional season, though. La Grande Dame's kind of the La Grande Dame and Tia are kind of the narrators, though.
Even, like, Scarlett somewhat, too, but hers feel a little bit more, like, not scripted, but she's, like, doing bits.
Yeah. Hannah, in, like, the past two episodes, has had some growing confessionals where she was like, I don't want to say they're terrible, but they're,
terrible. Is it rigged?
No. That's what Hannah Conda would say.
Noodles just said no. Noodles said, no.
Nobody really did that well. So the first two deservedly won in that vein. The bottom two was right. But Tia Coffee, how could you send my girl home?
She will know wrath from Be Like Boy for the rest of her life.
I mean, I'm not going to do anything about it. No. You know that video of Thorgy Thor and Bob the Drag Queen? And Thorgy is like listing her grievances of Tia, and then Tia comes into the picture. That's going to be me when Tia is in an interview. I'm going to show up and say, so, Tia, what did you think of Kenna Minaj?
Honestly, what a flop to not put Thorgy on the season with Tia Coffee.
That would have been such a great idea.
It's fine. We got Gothy Kendall instead.
Derek, you're so mean.
You literally are so mean.
Why?
You said something really mean earlier that I don't remember.
What about you?
No, about Jombers or someone. I don't remember.
See, here's the thing. You can't even remember what mean things I
say. Insert editing Derek, insert clip right here, and I'll put like the echo and like some like dark brooding music underneath.
And then here I am. I'm going to go through all the laundry list of mean things that you say, not only about the queens, but about me.
What have I ever said mean about you?
Well, you said I wear...
Right.
You didn't even give me a second. My gosh.
This podcast is only so long.
You said you would pretty much let me know that I am a fat cunt and the type of shoes that I would wear are not the shoes that would typically be worn by a beautiful woman. They're an old maiden type of shoes. I'll run the clips.
And I said that to help you. As a friend.
That's true. Only the realist would clock me like that.
Yeah. I think that's all we have to talk about for this episode. Matthew, what's going on?
Well, if you want to know, I have a really, really hard time. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, my gosh. The therapy session.
Well, this is my BetterHelp session, actually. That's what I thought this was.
I'm just as good as someone you would get on BetterHelp, so.
Well, you all can find me at BeLikeBoy on TikTok. It's BeLikeBoy on Twitter. BeLike_Matt_ on Instagram. Or you can find me on YouTube at BeLikeBoy. I should have a new video coming out this week. So be on the lookout for that. And the video might actually pertain to a certain UK versus the World 2 contestant. But we will see.
You guys, I got a plasma video coming out soon this week.
A big week of content for us.
2 podcasts and a main channel video. Is that not enough?
Girl, might as well get some drag duel out while you're at it.
The rest of my time will be spent watching the fucking top RPDR video, the 24-hour live stream about why Drag Tea Served with Matt is a rat.
24 hours?
Is it over yet? Let's see if it's over yet.
I don't know.
How long is this? The last time I checked, it was still going. Just kidding. It's 3 hours and 46 minutes.
Oh my god, that's as long as like a fucking soap opera.
I could sit through the entirety of the Eras Tour, like, again. This... Why is it so long?
I ain't reading all that.
Please, what's that copypasta?
I ain't reading all that. Sorry, or congratulations, or whatever it is.
Yes! No, that is this, for real. Okay, well, that's all for today. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll catch you in the next one.
Grazie.
Bonsoir.
Ciao.